All right, y'all, let's look in our Bibles this morning, as long as y'all have no objections to that. Hello? We're going to do it anyway if you do have an objection. Chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. Chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. Children, if you're ready to go down the hall, you may do so while everyone's looking up the scripture. Some other places we might refer to is John chapter 1 and Colossians chapter 1 and possibly Matthew chapter 17, just for your notes. They all will not be on the board. So here we go. A few weeks ago, we started a conversation or started a lesson or a message about the battle for the mind and the battlefield that we fight on is in the mind. It's our own minds. And we also communicated that that battle is not with flesh and blood, other people. It's with our enemy, Satan, who would love nothing more than to pull you away from your commitment to Christ. Right? And we talked about that battle. We talked about how to win that battle and how to stand in the victory that Jesus provided. And there were three tools: prayer, scripture, and obedience to Christ. Those are the three tools to stand in the victory that's already been won. And if you were here last week, or if you tuned in last week, you'll know that last week we talked about the power of prayer and how prayer is one of the keys to victory in Christ. Why would we not talk to the one who provided salvation for us every day, right? Today, we're going to talk about the second tool on the list, Scripture, and why it's important, why it's necessary, why it's absolutely crucial that Scripture is a part of your life as a Christian. Not just a small part, not just an every now and then part. It's just a big part of your life as your prayer life. It's just a big part of your life as your salvation. Without Scripture, without the truth of God's Word, you have nothing. Hello? You can't have salvation without the Word of God. You can't know about salvation without the Word of God. You can't know God without the Word of God. And you certainly can't know about your sinful condition without the Word of God. You'll have no hope. You'll have no direction, you'll have no strength and no courage because you'll have nothing to draw from. Make sense? And I know somebody's going to hear me say those things and they're going to sit back and say, well, I'm saved by what Jesus did on the cross and all I need is Jesus. Oh, really? Let's discover what that means. Let's discover what that looks like. And before I get going on my points, let me just read from you, John. Let's go to the Gospel of John. I thought I had it marked, but I'll get there. John chapter 1 in verse 1. I'm going to read more than verse 1, but verse 1 is the main point. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Hello? Let's go on. Verse 2. He was in the beginning with God. Capital 8. Jesus was in the beginning with God. And then verse 3. All things came into being through Him. And apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Verse 5. So once again, you cannot be saved without the Word of God, because He is the Word of God. He is the truth of God. He being Jesus, in case somebody missed that one. Right? Everybody's in agreement with that, I hope, this morning. All right, so this is going to be a good one, y'all. Get your amens out and make sure they're not sticking to each other, and you can hand them right on out when it's time. All right? Because we're going to talk about Jesus. We're going to talk about the Word of God. We're going to talk about how it affects our Christian lives and how we have hope. We're going to keep going back to John 1, 1. All right? Now, if you go to the letter to the Colossians, you'll find out more things about Jesus that you need to know. Maybe you'll be reminded. Right? Because in Colossians it says things like the one through whom all things were created and in whom all things hold together. Sounds very similar to what's going on in John 1, 1. What John was saying about Jesus. You ever get the idea that Jesus is the center of it all? You ever get the idea that he's what it's all about? You ever get the thought that maybe he's the one that holds it all together? And if he's the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God, then guess what? I need the Word of God every bit as much as I need Jesus, because it's one and the same. Hello? And how many believers, how many Christian people in the world today got dust on their Bibles? How many folks think they're walking with Christ but don't know any Scripture at all? Because they never read, they never study, they never go to Bible study, they never talk about the Word. They just depend on the preacher's 30-ish minute sermon to give it to them. And by the way, some of those people are the same people that complain about the 30-ish minutes being too long. Hello? Let me tell y'all something. If I'm listening to a preacher talk about my Savior and the Word of God, I don't care if he ever quits. I want to hear as much as I can hear about it. Hello? I'm not just saying that so y'all get stay. Nobody here complains about my preaching, by the way. Thank y'all. I love y'all. Thank you for that. Not, at least not to my face anyway, right? Nobody's ever said, you need to cut this back some. Nobody's ever said that to me at this church. Praise the Lord. I try to respect that too. Call it a pizza. I don't care if you get a pizza delivered. Have, sit it right there in the middle of the room. I'll just keep talking. Paul done that. Paul, the dude fell asleep and fell out the window. He went down and healed the dude and got back to preaching. All right, let's get into this here, y'all. Now, let me tell you something about the Word of God that we already know. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, all right, we're told right here in chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Keep it in mind, we're talking about the battle that's going on in our minds and how to win the battle, how to stand in the victory that's already there. All right? You need Scripture to win the battle, because the script, Jesus is the Word, y'all. Now, that goes back to when Jesus was in the wilderness being tempted. Remember that? And every time the temptations came, he responded with what? Thus saith the Lord. This is what the Word said. This is what it really says, Satan, since you're trying to manipulate the Word. Here's what it really says. And did Jesus have to do Bible study? Hello? Did he have to know more about himself? No. He is the Word, y'all. He is the truth. So what a fool Satan is, thinking he's going to deceive Jesus. Now let me tell y'all something. If you and I would devour the Word of God like we ought to, if we would make it an everyday part of our life, just soak it in, let it come in, just keep reading it, keep studying, keep talking about it, keep learning about it, when Satan comes with his lies into your mind, you will be able to defeat him as easily as Jesus did. And it'll be natural for you. The Spirit of God will say, thus saith the Lord, and it'll come out of your mouth. It'll come into your mind. And you will dismiss the lies of the enemy in your mind. And you will be victorious, and your life will show it. And your witness will show it, you see. But only here's the thing. No one cares what the Bible says until they understand this truth right here in 2 Timothy chapter 3. That all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable. It's God's Word. God inspired the Word of God. The truth. He inspired the people who wrote the Bible. Old Testament, New Testament. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1. You don't have to go there. I'll just read it to you. Verse 20 to 21. 2 Peter says, "But know this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will. But look, listen to this right here. But men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God." Even the prophets of old, whenever they spoke words, they were given to them by God. They never decided, "What should I tell people that God said today?" They never did that. They were moved by the Spirit of God to say or do whatever it is they did or said that was the prophecy, and it was direct communication from God to the people. Same thing in the New Testament, inspired by God. Now here's what we're talking about. We're talking about the Word of God. When I say the Word of God, what I mean is the truth that's found in this Bible that we call the Holy Bible. All right? I'm not talking about every word, every ink and paper. I'm not talking about every English word or Spanish word or French word or German word. I'm talking about what they mean. The truth that's found in here. You see what I'm saying? And as long as you have a translation that's translated directly from the original writings, you're good to go. Because you have the Spirit of God to help you learn from that, to find that truth. You understand? And if we start saying that one translation is the only translation or some other translation is better than the other, you're limiting what God can do. You're limiting the fact that God can take His truth and translate it across the ages and say the same thing. Because it's not just words, y'all. The Word of God is our Savior. When Jesus came into the world, He's the truth in the flesh, walking around. Yeah? And it's funny to me because the Pharisees were kind of challenging Him. Every time they accused Him, He's like, "Oh, you're breaking the law." And He would look at Him like, "Dude, I am the law." You see? So how can we live the Christian life and be the witness that Jesus died for us to be if we don't have this relationship with Him, His Word? It's not just knowing it. It's not just reading it. It's not just memorizing it. It's a relationship with the Word of God. Why? Because in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with Him. And the Word was God. Amen? Isn't that amazing, y'all? Scripture itself comes from God. And it has absolute authority over everything in existence. That's why when the apostles, after Pentecost, they started preaching in the streets and teaching about Jesus and His resurrection, and they were told to shut it down, remember? And they were like, "Who are we going to listen to? You or God?" I mean, they had Jesus in the flesh telling them, "Go out and make disciples. Go into the world and make disciples. Preach the gospel everywhere you go." And then they had the Spirit of God on the day of Pentecost, right? Came into them. And supernaturally, they just went out and started preaching everything that Jesus taught them. They had the Word in the flesh in front of them. That always gets me. It's like, how do you lose your Bible? Hello? If you look at this as only a book that we read in church, you'll probably misplace it somewhere in some point in your life. How do you go through your life? I'm not saying it's wrong and you're sinning if you've actually lost the Bible. It happens. I'm just saying, how do you leave it laying around? How do you not carry it with you wherever you go? We have the technology today. You can have it in your pocket everywhere you go if you want it. Right? I don't care if you use an electronic device or if you open. I like the Bible. I look at it on the computer too, but I like the Bible. I like to mark it up. I like to see what's going on. I think that's what the Lord would have us do. So let's just make sure that we are committing daily to the reading and studying of our Bibles. Not just to read it and study it. Not just because somebody's given you an assignment, because then it becomes a laborious chore that you'll never stay committed to. But if we look at it as an intimate relationship with our Savior that will show us more and more about who He is and more about who we are, you'll be amazed at how much we grow in Christ. You'll be amazed at how much we see what God is doing in this world and in this life. And you'll be amazed at how often you'll get to claim victory in the battles that go on in your mind. And that honors God. That brings glory to God. And people in your life will see more and more victories, and they'll say, I got to have what you have. And you'll hand them a Bible and say, here's who I have. This is who I have. This is who I am. I'm in Christ. Let's look at another point. Check this out. Hebrews chapter 4. We just got done studying Hebrews and on Wednesday nights, if you're tuning into that, not too long ago. In chapter 4, just this one verse 12, it says, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of the soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. You ever read that? When's the last time you read that verse? The Word of God, it says, is living and active. Of course it is. If the Word of God, it was with God in the beginning and is God, certainly He's alive. Amen? I'm going to have to stop throwing these fastballs. Y'all can't get to them. It's Jesus, y'all. It's our Savior, the truth. He walks around in His ministry. He walked around saying, I am the truth and the life and the way. You want to know what's true? Look in your Bible. You want to know what's true? Read your Bible and pray. Ask God, what does this mean? Show me some truth. Help me know how to use this truth. Help me know how to share this truth. Help me know how to live in this truth. You'll never know who you are in Christ if you don't read your Bible, if you don't investigate this truth. And it's like, you know, here's the best thing. Here's one of the best things about God for me. He's never playing hide and seek. He's never saying, oh, I was over there, but now I'm over here. Yeah, I got you that. No, He's not doing that. He's here. He's just like, I'm right here. Come and see. Sit down with me and let's talk. I want you to know. You need to know. In fact, you'll die if you don't know. You understand? That's how crucial the Word of God really is. You can't just say, I asked Jesus in my heart and I'm good, and then go about your worldly life and never read your Bible, never study your Bible, never try to understand the doctrines of the truth that we know. You're not going to make it. You need it. You have to have Him. The living Word is active, of God actively discerns our hearts. Don't that scare you a little bit? I think so. I believe sometimes people don't read their Bible because they're afraid of what they might find. Hello? I know you didn't say amen to that one because it was a little too close, right? I almost got you right there. I'm with y'all. But the more I study, the more we all study, the more we all find out about Jesus, the harder it gets, but the more amazing it gets. Right? Because when we look in Acts chapter 2, right at Pentecost, when Pentecost was there and the Spirit of God came on them and he started preaching the gospel, and it says they were cut to the heart, right? Who wants to be cut to the heart? Raise your hand. Anybody? Who wants to be first in line to be cut to? I mean, I know some of us that are saved, it's like, yeah, I want to be, because we know that if I'm cut to the heart, it's going to heal my soul. Hello? But most people, either whether they're not saved or they're just young in Christ or just unhealthy spiritually, they're forgetting that. We need to be cut to the heart. We need to be opened up. We need to be some spiritual surgery performed on us. And that's what the Word of God does. It's a double-edged sword, right? Like a surgeon. I can't even imagine being a surgeon, y'all. There's a lot of things I've done for work in my life. But I never would ever consider cutting on another person. I just couldn't do it. There's no way I could do it. It's got to be precise, right? There's no oops. There's no saying, oops, my bad. And yeah, here's your free cup of coffee. Come back next time. That's not how it's going to work. The Word of God is living. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces as far as the vision of the soul and the spirit, y'all. That's as deep as you can get into a man or a woman. Nobody can do that but the Spirit of God, the Word of God. Nobody can do that but God Himself. I mean, after all, He's the one who created man. And let me tell y'all something. We talked about in our Sunday morning Bible study that there is a double cure for sin, because it's a double problem. Jesus paid the wrath, paid the penalty, but He also brought the cure for sin. He also cured the sickness that we can't cure. And in order for us to be healed of that sickness, we have to be cut to the heart. We have to allow the Word of God to cut us deep and open us up and fix what needs to be fixing and put it all back together. That's what the Word of God and prayer does, y'all. But you have to believe it is the Word of God. You have to believe it has the authority of the kingdom of God. You have to believe that John 1:1 is true. That in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You have to believe that. If you don't believe that, you'll never do anything with it. You won't have any desire to need it in your life. So yeah, I'm glad to see that some of y'all are raising your hand. Yeah, I want to be cut to the heart because I need it. I want to be healed, right? Before I got saved, I was like, no, I don't want to be cut to the heart. What's wrong with you? Who wants to be exposed? Who wants to have their sins called out? Nobody. But what's the consequences? What's the other alternative? Let's just be separated from God for eternity. Just die in your sickness. A horrible, long, horrible, eternal death. That's the alternative, y'all. Right? And I'm going to tell y'all something. One of our biggest enemies in regards to the Word of God and our relationship with the Word of God is time. Time management. Not time itself, our management of our time. Some of y'all are really good. You get up every day and you have set times throughout the day that you read your Bible. You do your devotions or whatever you do. Sometimes you have family time where you all sit down together and you read and you study together. I think that's important. If Jesus is going to be the center of your home, then that should happen, shouldn't it? It's more than just saying grace before you eat a bologna sandwich. It's more than that, y'all. You should, I mean, y'all laugh at me, but I got barbecue stains in this thing. I love barbecue, but I want to know about Jesus while I'm eating barbecue. You know what I'm saying? I'm just like, sometimes I'm studying for a sermon or sometimes I'm reading a devotion. I'm sitting there eating a rib and I'm turning a page and it's all stuck together. That's how bad we want to do it, y'all. That's how much we need our Savior. All right. It's living and active and it's working. It's performing surgery, y'all. All right, now finally, Romans chapter 15 in verse 4. Says this, for whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures, look, we might have hope. It's the purpose. Anytime you see so that in the Bible, it's going to tell you the purpose of whatever's being said. All right. So why does God give us the Bible? Why does God give us the Word? Why does God give us Jesus? So that we can have hope. Without it, we have no hope. We just don't have any hope. We just don't have any hope. If without Jesus, without the Word of God, without the truth of God, without the healing of God. I'm trying to help us remember, do not separate the Bible, the Scriptures, from Jesus. It's not a book about Jesus. It's the Word of God who is Jesus. The truth of God who is Jesus. You can't know Him without reading your Bible. All right. So we have instruction, we have encouragement, so that we can persevere with hope. How many of y'all like instructions? It's okay to like instructions. I don't mean like some boss telling you what to do. I mean instructions. How do I do this? Everybody wants to know how to do something, right? I know, guys, you don't have to raise your hand. Everybody knows you read the instructions when nobody's looking. We need instruction, Joe. Right? God's not just going to say, hey, here's my son. He died for you. Believe it or not. And okay, I believe it. Now go be a witness. Go make disciples. Well, how do I do that? You have to have instructions to even walk, step into grace, don't you? Acts chapter 2. At Pentecost, they were cut to the heart because the truth came out. They were exposed. They found out they were sick and they were dying. And they said, what do we do? They wanted instructions. What can we do? And he said, repent. If you believe this is true about Jesus, if you believe this truth, then you should repent. You should stop being a sinner. You should stop rebelling against God, and you should confess your sins, repent, and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And you can step into God's grace and receive his forgiveness. That's the instructions, y'all. How do we know that if it's not in his word? How can we tell anybody else if we don't know? Somebody just sent that to me just yesterday or day four. How can anybody be saved if they don't hear the word of God? If nobody preaches the word of God, how can anybody be saved? Well, how do we know the preaching? How do we know what it is if we don't have the word to give us, to offer to us? And look, y'all, you can argue with people all day long about the reality of this Bible being the word of God. And somebody's going to give excuse after excuse about, well, there's no way this and that and whatever. Well, there's no way that this Bible can be translated as many times as it has been, carried on all through the ages, so that I have it right here in my hand today in 2026. And the truth hasn't changed since Pentecost. Hello? The truth hasn't changed since Pentecost. We can change how we write it, how we translate it, but the truth never changes. Why? Because it's him. He was with God in the beginning. And he is God. The truth is God. The Bible is. The Word of God is God. You see? He doesn't change. And we can spend all our time arguing about all that if you want to. I suggest you just surrender to the truth. Surrender to Jesus. And watch how he changes your life. You cannot be the Christian without the Word of God. You cannot win the battles against Satan without the Word of God. Because he is the Word. Amen? He's the foundation. The Word of God is the foundation of our daily walk with Christ. What does it mean to be a Christian? Well, how do we know if we don't read it in the Word of God? What does it mean to be a witness? How do we know if we don't read it? What is grace all about if we don't read it? How do we know? How do we help people know about Jesus? How do we even know to praise God if we don't read it in the Word of God? If we don't see it in the life of our Savior. Hello? And I'm not saying we should memorize every word in the Bible, because I know a lot of people, I've heard of a lot of people that memorize the whole Bible, but they're not saved because they don't believe it to be the Word of God. You see, everything changes when you believe. All right, we're going to shut it down right now. I couldn't decide what to put on this slide, so guess what? it's all up there. Colossians chapter 1 also says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, through whom and for whom all things were made, and in whom all things hold together. Talking about our Savior. Talking about Jesus. Talking about the Word. Jesus himself is the Word. John 1, 1. You know, in Matthew chapter 17, I'm not going to read it. I'm just going to refer to it. It was the account of Matthew's account of the transfiguration. Right, Jesus took a couple of guys up on the mountain, and suddenly Moses and Elijah and Jesus are standing there together. And of course, they're like, "Hey, we need to build an altar here. We need to worship," which I think was an appropriate reaction to that. What it wasn't what they needed to do, but it was an appropriate thought. The reason I'm bringing this up is because in this moment you have Moses, the law, Elijah, the prophecy, and Jesus, the truth, all in one place. If those guys couldn't see the totality of what's going on, in that moment, they never see it without the Spirit of God. And that's what ended up happening, didn't it? They still didn't see it. They couldn't wrap their brains around it. But it wasn't until the Spirit of God came at Pentecost that they said, oh, now we get it. Now we understand. And they started making disciples. They started preaching the gospel. See how important Pentecost is. Because even with the Word of God, if you don't have the Spirit of God, then you're disabled. If you don't have the Holy Spirit in your heart, in your mind, you're disabled. Right? How can we understand if we don't have someone to help us understand? How can we know? We can read. There's a lot of people that read the Bible, but it don't make sense to them. Because they're not understanding that you need the Spirit of God. You need to be saved. You need to understand that this is true. And all it takes is one little step of faith to say, okay, what if this is true? What if this Bible is the truth? Boom! Spirit of God will pull on them until they surrender to it. You see. And it's off. It's on that at that point. The Word of God is truth, and dependence upon it is vital to who we are in Christ, as prayer is to how we live in Christ. Right? We can't be who Jesus died for us to be without the Word of God, without knowing it, without reading it, without studying it, without letting the Spirit of God have His way with it in our life. You can't do it. Not because God has set you up to fail, but because this is the instructions. This is what God said to do. Why did He give us the Word if it wasn't that important? Why do we need to know about all the Israelites and the other ites in the Old Testament? Why do we need to know about creation in the book of Genesis? Why do we need to know what we know from the book of Revelation? Why? If it isn't because He's our Savior, this truth. If it isn't because it's a part of who we are in Christ. You understand, if we're in Christ and we're saved by, if Christ is living in us as believers, then the Word of God is living in us. You see? And the more we read, the more we study, the more we absorb, the more the Spirit of God has to help us in our daily lives as witnesses for the kingdom of God. Isn't that great how that works? Next week, check this out. Next week, if y'all choose to come back, and I hope you do, we're going to talk about the hard part. Because anybody can read the Bible. Anybody can throw a prayer up to God. And God can answer those prayers. But if you don't do nothing with it, then what? Right? Oh, Frank's over here trying to start me off. We got to be doers, right? All right, y'all. If you're not saved, then you're behind. You're in trouble. Everybody in here knows that. If you're not a believer, I suggest you consider that the Word of God is true, and when it says that you should repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, that you should take that serious, so that you can have Christ in your life. You can be forgiven, and you can be being made holy. Start the process of being made holy. And part of that is absorbing our Savior and having a relationship with Him through the Word of God. Let's stand together and sing. If you're not saved, today's the day.